You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffiths.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, everybody. It's good to have you company. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you are listening to it from. And jump in on the action. Check out our Instagram, at The Plug with Neil Griffiths, all one word. Or over on TikTok, at theplug.podcast. Also, thank you to everyone who listened to last week's episode with Dan Masala from Story of the Year. It was so much fun and very nostalgic for all the emo kids. So this week we got to keep it a little bit emo adjacent, whatever the hell that means. I'm very excited to welcome my guest this week, Canadian legend, hero, possibly my new best friend, Dallas Green of City in Colour and Alexis on Fire. Dallas came on ahead of the release of the 7th City in Colour album. It's called The Love Still Held Me Near, and it is out everywhere on March 31st. Now, usually we'd release episodes promoting albums close to the release date, but this chat with Dallas was so great, we had to get it out now. Many fans will know that in 2019, during an Australian trip, Dallas' friend and producer, Carl Barham, tragically passed away, which led to the album's first single, Meant to Be. Throughout February this year, Dallas embarked on a huge tour of Australia, both with City in Colour and Alexis on Fire, and we spoke about the process of putting the record together through such a difficult time and returning to Australia for the first time in a few years. As well as the album, which I'm calling one of his best right now, we discussed the long-awaited Alexis on Fire reunion last year, which resulted in the band's first album in 13 years, and how that came to be after a rough breakup many years ago. So let's get into it. Here is my chat with Dallas Green on The Plug Podcast. All right, welcoming to The Plug Podcast for the very first time. I am extremely excited to welcome this man to the show, Dallas Green, City in Colour. Dallas, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We had like a minor error before we started. My camera wasn't working for some reason, but you were on a break, luckily. So this is good. It all worked out in the end.
Okay, good. That's I was actually wondering when I was running back. Oh, there he is.
It's good. So we're meeting in real time. I'm a huge fan of your work, City in Colour and Alexis on Fire. I'm in New York. You just wrapped up a massive tour of Australia, both with City in Colour and Alexis on Fire. So let's start there, man. I'm assuming you're back home now after the tour, right?
Yeah, home for, well, I'm leaving tomorrow, but I've been home for about two weeks.
Yeah.
And it's, man, it was awesome. It was like, obviously any reason to leave Toronto in February is reason enough. But getting to go to Australia in the summer and to be able to do both bands and be over there for so long and have it just be, it was wonderful. That's the best way I can put it.
How long were you there in total? Because again, the two tours, at least a month.
Yeah, I think it was like 5 weeks total.
Right.
With like days off. And like I was doing that, this thing called Somersault, which is a great traveling festival, but it's only on the weekend. So there was like a bunch of days off, which was really amazing, to be honest, for everybody we got. So like, I mean, I did joke at the last show on the Somersault tour. I was like, you know, the one problem about this tour is there's just been too many beaches.
The nerve, like
every
right?
Show was at a beach. It was, I mean, it was really, really, I was having a hard time telling anybody that lived in North America what I was doing, actually, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, then again, I'm from Sydney. I moved to New York late last year, but I'm kind of chasing every band behind COVID. So when I was in Australia, all my favorite bands were touring America, and now I've moved to America and they all just toured Australia.
Everybody was over there.
Yeah. It killed me that I couldn't see your show or Alexis's show, because both of those things I was waiting for. And I had George on the podcast late last year ahead of Otherness's release. So all I keep hearing was that it was like the best fucking tour ever.
It was. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It was awesome. It was a joyful experience all around, I think, for everybody. Except for the first Alexis show, Beardo had food poisoning. So he was...
Oh, shit.
He was struggling. But, man, did he ever do it? He pulled it off, for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is probably the first time in many years that you've had to pull the Alexis and City in Colour wagon, was that a tough slog for you, or was that, you know, something you welcomed?
Yeah, I did welcome it, actually. I think, you know, years ago, there was a real, when it was all kind of starting to kick off with both the things, like, I had a really hard time trying to figure out how to manage both of them, you know? I think probably because I was young and I didn't see either of them coming, let alone both of them, you know? So it was just a real, like, and, you know, we were trying to build it and build both. And it was just a lot of trying to figure out how to juggle those parts of myself. But over the pandemic, making both records and really like kind of finding a new, or at least like finding a new blueprint for trying to do both, this was like the real, I mean, I did, you know, we toured a lot last year with Alexis and I did some City and Colour shows in and around them, but this was the real like test to see, could we do both and could it work? And it really was like, for all the moving parts and how far away it was and all of that, it went amazingly. And I think it was really, for me, I know personally, like I felt very, very grateful. Like I kept saying that to everybody, I just felt so grateful to be able to be there for so long and to be doing both and getting to play all those songs and to have all the people be there and support it was really a dream come true.
Hey man, we have to say congratulations on the album, The Love Still Held Me Near. It is out everywhere on March 31. I've listened to this album like 4 or 5 times, and maybe it's just because I've listened to it so many times. It's been dubbed the most expansive album, which I would agree with. And I think fans hear that term and they think, oh shit, they're going to offer up something completely, change the sound completely. It'll be a pop album now. Expansive in the best way possible. I think within 3 years, this album will be considered one of your top three records across the board, in my humble opinion.
Thanks for saying that, man.
We know, and fans know, this album is very special and very emotional to you. Again, the last time you're in Australia, 2019, your dear friend and producer, Carl Barham, passed away. We touched on those Australian shows. To go back to play some of these songs before the album's release, what was that feeling like for you, man?
It was heavy, you know? Like, I think everybody that was there in 2019, we all had this real strange sort of relationship with Australia now, since, because it was, we were only there for a couple of days and then that happened, then we left and then the pandemic started, and it was like, it was a place that we had all gone to so many times, like my band and my crew. And so when we went back, a lot of the people that were there in 2019 were with me again, you know? And I think we all had our own moments. We all had our own, like, you know, sort of grief-stricken meltdowns, if you want to call it that. But I think they were all very useful. And I was opening all the City and Colour shows with Meant to Be on purpose, because I just thought, well, I'm not going to shy away from this. Like, this song only exists because of what happened. But I know what it did for me to write it, you know? So being able to play that song and then kind of look out in the crowd and see people connecting with it and who had already maybe heard it and were either going through it because of their own experiences with something similar, or they were going through it because they knew what I was writing about or singing about. It was just, I think it was a really cathartic experience to be back there singing and playing again, you know, because it is a place that's very dear to me. And I've had so many wonderful memories playing and singing there. That, like, there was no way I was not going to go back, right? Like, there just was no way that I would. I think that would be insulting to the legacy of my friend Carl if I just avoided going there. But it was emotional for sure. Like, it was, but it was emotionally, it was fulfilling. If that makes sense.
And I saw an interview you did recently where you said at the time you were considering walking away from music. Again, I have the advantage here. This podcast is going to be released 3 weeks ahead of the album. So, spoiler alert, it's amazing. But I've had the benefit of listening to this album and hearing what I've heard and how emotional it is and how powerful it is. Again, I truly believe this is some of your best work, both in Alexis and City and Colour. In hindsight now, do you think you really meant it when you said you could walk away from music forever, considering what you've produced with this record?
Well, I think when I was feeling that way, it was sort of in those early months of the pandemic when I had just had this year, right? So 2019 was just a really, really, it was a really emotional year for a lot of reasons. And then when the pandemic started and then I lost kind of, you know, what I thought, I guess my identity was, which was, I think I had tied myself into this pretzel where I think I forgot that I could just make music. And it wasn't necessarily making a City in Color record or an Alexis record or doing this thing that involved selling myself or what you would consider my day job or whatever, you know? And I think in those moments where I was really lost and isolated, I think I was looking at it with all of that tied to it, all that baggage of it becoming my life that I never really, I think I wanted this to be my life, but I wasn't ready for how it would totally change my life, you know? So I think in those moments, I was pretty like against the idea of writing. And I also thought to myself, what am I going to do? Am I going to really, truly write about this, all this really fucking terrible shit? You know, do I have it enough in me to write about it? And then somewhere along the way, the switch kind of flipped where I just realized, no, this is something that I do. This is part of me. It was part of me when I was 10 years old. It was part of me when I was 15 years old. It was part of me long before I became like Dallas Green from Alexis on Fire, who has a solo record now. And, you know, all that shit that comes along with actually like succeeding. And that is where I really like, I leaned into what music has always been for me, which is the saving grace, this time of where I can listen to a song or write a song and it makes me feel like I understand things, you know? And that is where like, I think, it, you know, it switched and I realized that there's no chance that I could walk away from it because it's not just what I do for a living. It is part of me. It is part of this, of how I deal with life is music and making it and creating it. And it's not just something I sell in a store or on the internet. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It was that. It was like, but it was, you know, for a while there, I was just lost, I guess. That's the best way I can put it.
I mean, who wasn't during the pandemic, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that was part of it too, right? It was like realizing that, snapping out of it and realizing that none of this is singular to me. Like, it's my version of what I've been going through, but all I'm doing is going through grief and loss of love and my identity, and we were all going through things, versions of that, you know? So it was this sort of just true realization that, oh, this is something I can do to help myself. And if it becomes something more than that, amazing. But this is something I have, you know, as opposed to like, don't focus on the things you don't have anymore. Focus on what you do have. And this is something you can do and start there. And then that's kind of when I just started writing, you know, as a way to deal with it.
It was that September 2020 to the May 2021 period, right? That you really kind of started writing a lot of music.
Yeah. And yeah, it was like this. I think it was partially, I said this to somebody the other day, like I, in the early, I guess I can't remember the month I put it out, but I made two low, the band Low, I covered two of the songs, two of my favorite Low songs, and I made a little 7-inch of, and I recorded them in my basement. And it was like the first time I started trying to like teach myself how to record better at home because I'm fucking terrible with technology. And, you know, my friend Carl had always told me to get this little setup and it would make my demos so much better and would make songwriting so much easier for me. And I never did it because I was always like, well, that's what you're here for. And I'll just keep sending you these shitty demos and we can, you know. But there was a moment where I started trying to teach myself a little bit, you know, better way to create, and I made those two low songs, and that really sparked just this, like, oh, I can just be creative, you know, I can just make music. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to tackle my grief right now, or I don't have to like figure out how to write an album for my band that I haven't in 13 years. Just like, let me just make music. And that really started the, like, the creative juices flowing. And then when we started jamming with Alexis, that was really it. It was like, oh man, now I'm like, I'm just so fired up to create that it allowed me to take a magnifying glass to the heavy shit in my life and start writing about it, you know, start writing myself through all that.
Looking for a new sound in 2023? The new ATH TWX9 is Audio-Technica's flagship true wireless headphone. These fully customizable premium buds deliver incredible high fidelity audio with adaptive noise cancelling and dual microphones for professional call quality. So whether you're listening to your favorite tunes, podcasts, or just looking for some peace and quiet, step up your headphone game with the new ATH TWX9. Available now at JB Hi-Fi Australia and audiotechnica.com. Were you still playing through the pandemic? And by that, I mean just jamming by yourself in your bedroom. Like, or was it when you're talking about potentially walking away from music, it was a, you couldn't even look at your guitar.
Yeah, there was a couple months of that where I think I was just so deep in the fear and the fear of the unknown and the sort of like the emotional wreckage of what had just transpired in the like 16 months before that, that I was like, I think I was just so defeated, you know, and in a way the break, like the halting of the world really, it saved me for a little bit, I think. Cause if I had just stuck with touring on that record, and I was not really who I, you know, I was a different version of myself. You know, I was going down a path that was just not healthy. Like I wasn't dealing with any of the problems I had created or had been created. And so the break really, like, it forced me to stop, and I stopped everything, and it was good. It was a good moment of reflection looking back at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know?
But there was a long period where I just didn't even want to look at it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of bands who have come on this podcast during the pandemic, it was always so interesting to see what they were doing, particularly like when lockdowns were still happening. Like, I remember I had Maddie from the 1975, he was on to promote an album, and we were doing a Zoom like this, and he was in the studio. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm writing a new album. Like, what else am I going to fucking do?
Yeah.
This album will now be out in 6 months, because what else are we going to do? And I remember again, talking to George when he was on the podcast, and you alluded to it before, what Wade just called like a rehearsal with the band, and you just got together, and that's how it started. Like, did you need to be convinced to get up and go see these guys again? Or were you already kind of, the wheels were turning again? Yeah.
No, that was like, I think, you know, around that time I had already started, I turned 40 in September, late September of 2020. And
yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. But it was this like real moment where like I had started kind of dusting off ideas and writing things down and starting to play a little bit more in the summer, like late summer of 2020. And then I turned 40 and had some conversations with my friend Matthew, who plays in my band and produced the record with me, and had some other good conversations with other people. And that really started, again, like just opening up the space in my brain to start creating. And then when Wader called and said we should go jam at our record label office because there's no one there and there's a jam space and we can go there, you know, we were in Toronto, right, where nothing was open in Toronto, but we had a place where we could go and do COVID, you know, do rapid tests and wear masks, and just to be in a room with your friends, man, that was everything, right? And as soon as we started playing, it was just that joy, not the joy of like, oh, we've been a band forever. All the stuff that would ultimately come to the surface and sort of make that record was like this camaraderie that we realized we've still had for all these years. But just being in a room with people and telling jokes and getting like a real life laugh. Unbelievable, you know? So that like having that as like a canvas to stand on and create was just incredible. And then I would get home and feel so jazzed about that I would like go start working on my solo songs, you know, because I was so fired up to create. But again, I think being able to be writing these Alexis songs collaboratively with my guys and tackling all these big subjects and doing what we've always done when we write songs as like a group, and it allowed me to really just have this laser focus on this other side of me, you know, that I was just kind of able to really do that thing, like really just dig in and write myself out of what was really going on internally, you know?
Trying to find the silver lining on the dumpster fire that has been the last 2.5 years with the pandemic, like who knows what would have happened if you guys weren't forced to be in Ontario at the same time?
I don't know. I don't think we would have made a record. I really don't.
Look at that album as well. That album, Motherness, yeah. Is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very proud of it, but I think the time is what really allowed, I mean, it's what definitely allowed both records to happen, but the time to just go be together and work on songs with no reason other than just to do it, right? Because we didn't have a record label. It's not like people were forcing us to kind of make a record. It was just, we were doing it because we could, and we had the songs, and you know, I would bring an idea and then that would start, or Wade would bring an idea, and it would, the thing that used to happen when we were younger, when we weren't really focused on anything other than making music, that was there for us again, you know? And yeah, I think the time is so important. And I think it's weird, right? Because you think, what would you trade that for not having the pandemic? Yeah, probably. I think it would be just better for the whole of humanity if that hadn't happened. But I think for us, it was just this like real acknowledgement that, wow, we're able to do this, then so we have to, kind of thing. And I felt that, like, I felt the same way when I was making the other record was, you know, I went from that period where I thought, well, maybe I don't have to do this anymore. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. Maybe I've spent too much time of my life making music and writing songs, and what has it gotten me? And all of these feelings I was going through, to the total adverse of that, which was, fuck, I can do this, you know? And I know I need to take advantage of that, right? Like, I'm able, so I should. And I did.
You said at the start of the podcast as well, kind of having to juggle these two projects for the first time in a long time. Given how well Otherness was received, and given how well I think this City in Color album is going to be received, are you in it for the long haul, I guess, is the shitty way of asking that question of, you know, the touring schedules. George told me on the podcast last year he absolutely wants to make another Alexis album, but I don't know if that's because he was so hyped up on Otherness. Do you think that that's something you can, moving forward, is easy for you to navigate?
I think we have now made it, like before, like I was saying earlier, it was all happening. And I don't think that there was a better way to manage it than the way it ended up happening. It was just sort of evolution. And I left because I had to. But anybody who knows me knows that I never left the band because I wanted to be a solo artist, or that I wanted to be, you know, the spotlight, or I just needed to make other music. And I, you know, and then the thing that kind of struck me along the way when we started writing, and a lot of the stuff that I kind of ended up kind of coming to my surface that I didn't even realize I was holding on to, was like, it was a really difficult time for me when I quit the band, you know, and no one ever really asked me about it, because they just, everybody assumed that I was fine because I had the other thing that was doing well and I left and la-di-da, you know. But like, nobody ever asked me what it was like to lose Alexis on Fire. And it was a really deep, deeply felt loss of a part of me when it all went down, because I put everything I had into that band, you know. So to find my way back to it on a level that I am now, like when talking about this record, Otherness, like it's so important to me. But I also know that making music on my own under the City and Color thing is very important to me too. And I think everybody involved now has a better understanding of how we can. I think we're all just grateful that there are, that these things exist still, you know? And so like the tour we just did in Australia is a perfect example of like, there are ways to go about it that don't, you know, they're not necessarily normal. And I don't think what I, my career has not been, you know, storybook or as normal as other ones, I guess, but this is where we find ourselves. And I love being in Alexis on Fire. You know, but I also love standing up there in the middle, singing these other songs I've got on my chest, you know, and I think I have now found a place in myself where I can be proud of that. And I don't feel divided by it anymore. And I don't think the guys in the band feel divided by it anymore. And I definitely don't, I hope that people out there that are listening feel divided by it anymore. And I would love to just be able to do both.
I think the weird, you know? I think the weird hostility from fans, if there is any, is because, I mean, look at these two projects. They're so vastly different in sound, in everything. And, you know, when I remember when you released Sometimes, the idea was, oh my God, Dallas is leaving. He's going to start a whole new, you know, Alexis 2.0, and this is going to be a side project. But then you do City and Color, and like, okay, it's completely different. And not only is it completely different, it's fucking great. Like Dave Grohl, when obviously Nirvana broke up and he started Foo Fighters, a lot of people were pissed off. Turns out Foo Fighters were really good. So I think the anger and hostility goes away once it's like number one, what you want to fucking do, which you're allowed to do, but it's also really fucking good.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. But yeah, no, I think I would love to, like I kept writing way after we recorded both records, and I, you know, obviously we've been touring a lot, and I kind of go through these periods where when I'm after I've created something, I need it to come out and I need to tour before my brain turns the page to wanting to create again. You know, it's just sort of, I've realized that's kind of how my process is. So I haven't really been thinking too much about new songs that much lately, just because I think going straight from one record to the next, that's just how it is. But there's not a bone in my body that doesn't think it will. I mean, I absolutely think we're going to make another Alexis record. Yeah. I don't know when, but I absolutely think that we'll make another record for sure. It's like it's like Wade, I said, like Wade, it is totally like Wade started the band over. You know, whatever that phone call was, it was like the same phone call that him and I had 22 years ago when he called me and told me he was going to be jamming with Jesse from the band. That was his band, and Steel. And he was like, do you want to come over? And I said, sure. And that became Alexis on Fire, you know? And I think when he called and said, should we jam? It was like he was just starting it over again, you know? Like whatever new version of us this is, that's what we are now, you know?
Listening to this new City and Color album, it was a similar feeling I had to listening to Sometimes for the first time, in that you would just come out of Alexis and release this album and it was kind of the unknown. And then I'm listening to this new City and Color album and I just fucking get it. It's obviously very deep and emotional. It deals with a lot of heavy stuff.
That's pretty par for the course with me.
Yeah, sure. But I feel like this album, I don't know why, I was just listening, like almost every song, it hit a note with me.
Oh, that's good. That's great to hear.
There's no real question there. I'm kind of just musing.
No, that's great. That's all you want to hear as a person making the music, you know? I write songs and hope I get that feeling when I'm creating it. But then that's all you want. You want it to come out. You want somebody, and for me at least, that's all I've ever wanted, was just something to make you feel something, you know?
And isn't it wild that with all that's happened in the last few years and then you kind of stopped making music for a little bit, and then once you did and got in this creative zone, in my opinion, you've created two of the best albums in your entire discography. That's insane to think about.
I mean, I agree with you. I do feel that way about both. I don't necessarily know why that is. You know, I think a lot of it is just experience and having lived, and you know, really this is all I've ever done is write and make music. And I think it maybe is this cross section between an experience mixed with you know, just realizing I know what I'm doing. I think, you know, finding a way to be proud of myself was really, really important in going into making these records and knowing that it was all possible, you know, that what I was feeling was real and not just this, oh, let's make City and Color record and Alexis record because we're supposed to, or I've been doing it forever. Like, it was truly like these songs feel special. They feel as special as anything I've ever been a part of, and it feels right, you know?
Does this next, what, 12 months or beyond, you kind of get to relax a little bit now and just tour both City and Carla and Alexis, or
Yeah.
there's nothing else in the works as far as new music?
Not right now. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got little bits of pieces of stuff going here and there, but like, again, I think just the way that we've kind of rolled them both out, like having spent like all last year doing the Alexis thing and, you know, alluding to the fact that there would be another solo record. I think I've just kind of been waiting for this period. So like when it comes out, I think I mean, if I go look to the past, every time I've created something, there's that strange limbo period in between creating it and then having it sort of be released and sort of out of your captivity, you know? So I think part of me is always still feels too connected to something to move forward until it's out. So now that like I've been talking to people about it and the songs are coming out, I've started to feel my brain freeing up a little bit. And like, so I know like once the record comes out, the switch will flip and I'll start combing through all the voice notes and, you know, going back to the things I wrote before and going, was there anything in there? You know, and that's just kind of how it
Well,
starts.
you've got some time now, and I think you're in New York in May, so please
Yeah.
don't reschedule, don't change the date. I haven't seen you perform in like 30 fucking years. I'll be in the
No, I'm
same
not.
city.
As long as nothing bad happens, we'll be playing that show. So.
Good. Well, Dallas, I'll see you there, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. Again, congratulations on this album. I cannot wait for people to hear it. And yeah, man, I can't wait to see you in concert as well.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Peace.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.